Amen. Take the word of God this evening, if you would. Be turning to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. We've been making our way through this book. We've entitled this series, Earnestly Contend for the Faith. As we've said many times, the book of Acts really is the work of the apostles in the early days of the church. The book of Jude really is the vestibule or the hallway into the revelation of Christ and the rapture of the church. The book of Acts deals with the apostles and their work. The book of Jude deals with the apostates and their work. And we've been looking at these that the Bible referred to as filthy dreamers. And they also likened them in verse 10 to brute beast. We'll just read two verses of Scripture tonight. This is the verses we'll be concentrating on this evening. The Word of God says in verse 10, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Again, keep in mind, it's speaking about those that were mentioned earlier and up in this chapter here, filthy dreamers, verse 8. As a matter of fact, if you take notes or mark in your Bible, you may want to connect verse 8 and verse 10 because it's referencing the same individuals. "These speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kore." Again, as we read verses 10 and 11 here, we need to keep in mind that we are dealing with people who would be categorized as the lower type in this world. Sinful people, wicked people. By the way, I'm not talking about economic low. I'm talking about morally low. Vile individuals. People that mock sin and make fun of those who try to do right. We're dealing with people who would be, again, categorized as the lower types in this world. The criminal element. Or the low life. But God says and references these individuals as brute beast. They talk about religious things, and they declare that they know almost everything, but they are operating entirely on the natural and know nothing about spiritual. Again, notice what it says there in verse number 10. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally." All they know is what the natural mind, the natural man knows. Now, understand tonight, the natural man is a sinful man. We're born sinners. They base their decisions and they base their ideas and they base their way of thinking on the natural, not the spiritual. By the way, we're to think spiritually. Or let me say that, we're to think biblically. There's a whole lot of folks that think they're spiritual that's not biblical. We're to pattern our life, and we're to function biblically. We're to think biblically. And these individuals talk about religious things, and they declare that they know almost everything, but they are operating entirely on the natural, and they know nothing spiritual. As a matter of fact, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, verse 14, the Bible talks about the natural man. Let me read that verse for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man doesn't understand spiritual things. There are people probably that question your sanity tonight by being in church on Wednesday night. They're wondering what in the world's wrong with you. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's a fellow told me this. He said, "You know, you're one of the only churches left that have services on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I said, we're going to continue to have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But the natural man doesn't understand that. The natural man works God into his schedule if he finds time to do such. Those who operate and function biblically or spiritually understand that God's to have the priority in everything. He's to have the preeminence. Now, as we think about these brute beasts, understand these brute beasts, they don't know God. They may say they do, but they don't. They function out of a natural way of thinking. They talk about those things which they know not. They can talk a spiritual game, but they don't know God. Not only do these brute beasts not know God, but these brute beasts are not saved people. The Bible says back over in verse number 4, they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is really an unleashed desire. Again, keep in mind this whole chapter here, or this whole book's dealing with the work of apostates or apostasy. And they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, again, which is an unleashed desire. These brute beasts know not God. They are not saved. These brute beasts don't know the Lord. They know a historical figure, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not what they know. All they know is a little bit of history. By the way, being a Christian is more than a head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. The devil believes the scripture. The devil believes there is a God. We know the devil is not going to heaven. We know the devil has not had his sins forgiven. Now we're going to look at some things this evening as we consider even greater detail the work of these apostates and how that God likens them to brute beasts, and he gives some clarification here in the following words and the following verse. He gives some more description of these brute beasts, the work of these apostates. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us understand this tonight. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to know and helping us to identify the work of the apostates of our day. Lord, we certainly know apostasy is running rampant. There are many people who've denied revealed truth. They speak things they only know as a natural man, but they don't speak spiritually or biblically. I pray tonight we might have a better understanding of these that you label as brute beasts, of these filthy dreamers. And Lord, may we not be persuaded by their talk. May we not be influenced by their way of thinking. But Lord, may we be more determined to live our lives by the principles of your word. Lord, help us to think biblically and live biblically. Use us tonight as you see fit for your honor and for your glory. We'll be very grateful for all that you do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Again, we see here in verse number 10, these individuals that God refers to as brute beast, who are also referred to in verse 8 as filthy dreamers. But the Bible says here, in verse number 11, woe unto them. Again, that's a reference to these brute beasts. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. The Bible describes these brute beasts as having gone in the way of Cain. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God made for them coats of skin as a covering. Understand, they had tried to make their own covering, which was not sufficient. It was not acceptable. But an innocent animal was slain for guilty sinners. The blood was shed, making the way to God the blood way. We sing, there is a fountain filled with blood around here occasionally, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath its flood, lose all their guilty stain. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we read that Abel, Adam and Eve's son, that Abel submitted to God an offering, a blood sacrifice for atonement. Now he had a brother named Cain. And Cain chose his own way and offered the fruit of the ground. You say, well, Cain offered an offering. It was not acceptable. By the way, let me just say this tonight. We can't make our own way, and we can't determine the way we're going to go to heaven. There's one way to go to heaven. There's one way to have our sins forgiven. And it's not the fruit of the ground, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Cain chose his own way, and he offered the fruit of the ground. Cain did not come the blood way. The only way to God is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we'd all say amen to that. And brute beasts, with their natural minds, don't understand that. There's a lot of people that believe that they can do enough good to outweigh their bad. That's work salvation. That's not the means of salvation. There are some folks that believe you can lose your salvation. That's not biblical salvation. These brute beasts with their natural minds, they don't understand this. They want to figure out a different way. They want a bloodless, Christless religion that leaves man lost in his sin. The way of Cain, understand tonight, is a refusal to submit to the way of God. It's pure rebellion. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it God's way. You know anybody like that? We all do. I want to do it their way, not God's way. And the way of Cain is a refusal to submit to the way of God. Not only do these brute beasts go into the way of Cain, but they follow after the error of Balaam. Again, notice if you would in verse 11, woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Again, the Bible states and says that these brute beasts run greedily after the error of Balaam. Now in Numbers chapter 22, we're not going to read all the verses surrounding this, but in Numbers chapter 22, we read the story of Balaam. Let me just read just a few verses here. You may want to turn there, Numbers chapter 22. We read the story here of Balaam. And the Bible says that these brute beasts, these filthy dreamers, have run greedily after the error of Balaam. Notice if you would in Numbers chapter 22 verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plain of Moab, on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at the time. And he sent messengers unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, from Egypt. Behold, they come, or they cover the face of the earth. and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now let's get the story here. Balak calls for Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He's frightened of the children of Israel. And so he wants Balaam, the prophet, to curse the children of Israel. Now let's read verse 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Now again, Balak, the king of Moab, offered the prophet Balaam rewards if he would come and curse Israel. Now God told Balaam not to go, but Balaam wanted the reward and Balaam wanted the promotion. And the greed inside of him would not let him stop, but he continued and he went to curse the children of Israel. He was willing to be hired for his service. By the way, any preacher that's a hireling should get out of the ministry. Any preacher who's more concerned about the offering and the offering plate ought to get out of the ministry. Any preacher who's worried about somebody who contributes a lot to a ministry to the point that it changes the message or it softens the message should get out of the ministry. That individual is not a preacher, but rather that individual is a hireling. And Balak, the king of Moab, again offered the prophet Balaam rewards if he would just come and curse Israel. And the greed inside of him caused him to do such. He was willing to be hired for his service, failing to recognize that God had a special covenant for the nation of Israel. By the way, he still has that covenant. They are still his people. And God says he'll bless those that bless them and he'll curse those that curse them. That covenant is still in place today. It has not been replaced by the church. There are some people that believe that God's chosen people this evening is the church. That's not so. That's replacement theology, and we don't practice that, nor do we believe it. God's chosen people are still his chosen people. That's the nation of Israel. Now understand this evening, brute beasts are hirelings. They care more about the reward, they care more about the promotion than they care about being biblical. And the reason being is their natural way of thinking. They function with a natural mind instead of a biblical or spiritual mind. They're hirelings, they don't care anything for the sheep. And according to Revelation chapter 2 verse 14... we find old Balaam's name mentioned again. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel." This stumbling block that's referenced here in Revelation chapter 2 verse 14, this stumbling block caused Israel to fall into idolatry and immorality with the heathen, the heathens of Moab. By the way, this evening, it's a dangerous thing to become a stumbling block. Be careful. You don't know what the outcome might be if you cause someone to stumble. Again, this stumbling block of Balaam caused the children of Israel to fall into idolatry, caused the children of Israel to fall into immorality with the heathens of Moab. And the Bible states that these brute beasts living today are guilty of the same error as Balaam. Again, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, I believe he was dealing with the church age and the churches of that day. Now these brute beasts, these filthy dreamers, they go the way of Cain. They go their own way instead of God's way. They rebel against the things of God. They rebel against the ways of God. Not only do they go the way of Cain, but they also follow after the error of Balaam. There's one more description here given to these that God calls brute beasts. Notice, if you would, again in verse 11, woe unto them. By the way, anytime God issues a woe, you better woe. I grew up on a farm, and when you said woe to a horse, you wanted him to stop. Amen? Now, some of them are stubborn as mules. My grandfather had a solution for that. He'd ball up his fist and hit him right between the eyes. You say, are you kidding me? No, not a bit. And if that didn't work, he'd take a 2x4 and knock him to the ground. And he'd say something similar to this. When I say whoa, I mean whoa. He would say, that's animal abuse. It was back in the 70s. Nobody thought about that stuff then. You go to jail now for keeping your dog in the car. You know? We can abort babies, but buddy, you better not let your dog get hot. Yeah, we can flash around Pride Week or Pride Month. By the way, let me just say this. Pride goeth before destruction. We hear about this gay Pride Month. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. They want to harp on pride. Be careful. Be careful. I better move on or I'm going to get in trouble. You say you're going over the airway. I know I am. Somebody needs to say stuff like this occasionally. I don't think you ought to say it hatefully, but I think you ought to be honest. These brute beasts go the way of Cain. They follow after the heir of Balaam. But notice here, lastly, in verse 11, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. They've perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Now the story of the rebellion of Kore or Korah is given to us in Numbers chapter 16. Korah rebelled against Aaron the high priest, and he also rebelled against the leader Moses. Korah was of the tribe of Levi. Now you understand the Levites had responsibilities in the temple or the tabernacle. They were in leadership positions. He had the privilege of serving God and again being a leader, Korah did. And he gathered 250 princes of the assembly who were famous in the congregation. The Bible uses this term, men of renown. In other words, people that had some influence. I was talking to someone this week. They were talking about the youth director at the church and how he was such a better speaker than the pastor. I said, yeah, but he's the youth director. He's not the pastor. And my concern is the youth director's getting a band of renowned men. We're going to have a preacher preaching in this conference that happened to. And he's one of the greatest preachers I know. He pastored a church for 40 years and they decided he'd been there too long. It's time for some new blood. Some younger blood. And he'd never tell you this, but it was Brother Weaver. That's what happened. Man give his life to a church. Sweat, blood, and tears. Love those people. And a court come in and got some renowned men, people with influence, and said, it's time to make a change. Well, he'll be preaching here, Lord willing. I'm excited he's coming. I went to a meeting last week, and he was there, and I said, hey, I need you. He said, for what? I said, I need you to preach. He said, Brother Greg, I just have a hard time remembering things. I said, write it down. You can read it. It'll be better than some of these other folks. Just read it. He don't preach out very often anymore. I told him, I said, I got to have you. He's coming. But Korah, what he did was he found some people with some influence. And he gathered these people around him. And they began to rebel against Moses and rebel against Aaron, the high priest. And the Bible says that they gathered together against the Lord. They thought they were rebelling against Moses. They thought they were trying to help Moses out. And they thought they were trying to help Aaron the high priest out. But the Bible says in Numbers chapter 16 verse 11, for which cause both thou and all the company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? Understand, Korah, though he thought he was opposing Moses and Aaron, he was opposing the Lord. He gathered together against the Lord. And may I remind us tonight, that is a dangerous thing to do, to be against the Lord. And Moses fell on his face and he sought the Lord. And God judged Korah and his followers and their families. Now understand again, it is a serious thing to speak evil against God-called and God-appointed leadership. And many today are filled with this spirit of rebellion or anarchy. And they may be in leadership just as Korah or Corey was, but their hearts are full of pride and full of desire to be greater than everyone else. May I remind us this evening, we should be determined to follow those whom the Lord has placed in leadership in the work of God. Now let me close. God here compares these apostates, those that work apostasy, he compares them to filthy dreamers. And he compares them to brute beasts. And he says in verse 11, woe unto them. May we understand tonight the danger of going the way of Cain. That's rebellion against God. That's saying, God, I'm not going to do it your way, I'm going to do it my way. That's rebellion. Of course, we know what the Bible says about rebellion. It is as the sin of witchcraft. There's danger in going the way of Cain. It's a dangerous thing to follow after the error of Balaam. Be greedy. A hireling. As I said a moment ago, any preacher who's for hire needs to get out of the ministry. Any preacher that's more concerned about an individual in their church and their offering than he is preaching the truth needs to get out of the ministry. He's nothing more than a hireling. And by the way, it happens all the time. Preachers are concerned about losing Mr. Big Bucks because they don't know who's going to pay his salary. By the way, I told a fellow this one time. I was serving as an assistant. I just think those in leadership ought to be the example in a church. Amen? I think that will set the example for the church. We had a visitation program at this church, and I was put in charge of organizing that. I couldn't get any of the board members to visit. I couldn't get the pastor to visit. And we had a board meeting once a month. I don't believe in board meetings. I don't believe in boards. That's why we don't have any here. But this particular church had boards, and they had board meeting. And everybody, all the heads of each department met once a month. And I said to the board, I said, how do you expect us to have a visitation program if you all don't come? And one of the men spoke up and he said, well, if it's required to me to visit, I'll just resign my board position. I said, you do what you feel like you need to do. And he said, I'll stop tithing. And I said, brother, if you think you're paying the bills around here, you're sadly mistaken. Because your $3 you put in the offering plate doesn't pay the light bill. He's in heaven tonight, I think. At least he claimed he was going to heaven. Hirelings. We don't need hirelings in the ministry. We need people that will stand up and proclaim the truth of God's word without reservation or without hesitation. They need to speak the truth. They need to speak it in love, but they need to speak the truth. They need to preach the entire counsel of the word of God. It's a dangerous thing to follow after the heir of Balaam. And it's a dangerous thing to go after the gainsaying of Korah. Wanting the preeminence for themselves instead of giving preeminence to the Lord, His work and His way. Again, we know that the apostates, the work of apostasy is going on today. As I was preparing this message, I thank the Lord that we don't, as far as I know, we don't have any of these issues. Those following are going the way of Cain. Those following after the heir of Balaam are those seeking the gainsaying of Korah. But it's not like this everywhere. There are churches that are in disarray tonight because of divisiveness. People wanting to do things their own way instead of the Bible way. We just need to stick with the Word of God. We need to think biblically. We need to live biblically. And doing that, we'll enjoy the blessings of God on our life. Let's bow our heads. So I said a moment ago, when God issues a woe, it means woe. We need not, again, follow or go the way of Cain, follow the heir of Balaam, or the gainsaying of Korah. That's the work of the apostates of our day. And the reason that is their action is because they think naturally instead of biblically. By the way, logic, now I think we ought to use our mind. God gives us a mind. But sometimes logic doesn't line up with the Lord's leading. And when logic doesn't match God's leading, then we follow God's leading, not our logic. You may know some folks that's been influenced by some of these individuals. Those like Cain, those like Balaam, those like Korah. So what do I do? Well, you got to try to encourage them to do the right thing instead of thinking natural. Think biblically. Certainly to pray for them. Ask the Lord to meet the needs and work in their life that they might understand. When God says woe, that's what He means. Woe.